Thank you, Lord. We praise you for your Holy Spirit, Father God. We just ask, Lord, that you fill us up tonight. Fill us up with your wisdom. Fill us up with revelations from the word, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to be leading us tonight into the things that that you think that we, you know that we need to speak about. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Father. We thank you for this man-child anointing very quickly. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name. I love that. Y'all ever heard that guy that does the old-time prayer? You ever heard that? The old-time prayer? Old-time Pentecostal prayer? Oh, it's amazing. Some night I'll let you hear it. I thought I'd let y'all hear it one night. But anyway, I thank you, Lord. Glory to God. And he just went on from there. Boy, it's just singing prayer. You ever heard him do that?
You're going to have to play it for us again. You're going to have to find
it. I guess so. Oh, it ain't no problem finding it. I know I've got it probably in a playlist on YouTube. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? I do. Father God, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for getting me back to Arkansas safe tomorrow morning. I thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a very beneficial, spiritual, beneficial trip. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the healing that's going to take place. We thank you, Lord, for the word that goes forth. And we ask and we pray, Father, that you lead and guide us into those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Teresa.
What is your wife's name?
Jeanette.
Well, I just think we should pray, keep standing that her back is mended, that all the nerves are mended, that the bones are mended, that they're coming back, you know, because, you know, that's what Jesus provided for. You know, he took that brokenness, that infirmity in his own body on the tree, and he freed us and cleared us from our sins, our sickness, our death, you know, but he also makes everything right. He gives us his righteousness. So, you know, I think, you know, I want to pray that her back is mended in Jesus' name, and that those bones by his workmanship are coming back together rightly. All the cells are being formed rightly. That whatever is wrong there is restored to righteousness. The bones are restored. The nerves are restored. That everything is just restored in Jesus' name. She's healed, 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 healed in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to stand, Lord, on that.
Okay, I'll stand with you. All right. Anyone else? Oh, boy, I tell you what, people are prayed up. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for this EBS to start. I want people to see. How many of you watched that Trump's speech the other night on the 4th, 5th. How'd you think the Democrats acted? Atrociously is the word that comes to my mind. Very unpatriotic, very Just you see what you got in the Democrat Party right there, just a bunch of garbage. And I just say it like it is. Yeah, Missy.
They were very inhumane. but I don't remember which part it was, what President Trump was saying about all the good things, like the prisoner from Russia coming back and the little boy that he gave a Secret Service.
Yeah, he'd been
anyway.
Operated on his brain 5 times.
I thought he said 13 times.
Okay, 13 times.
I don't know, maybe
they didn't
a lot.
Expect him to live.
But the thing of it is I didn't, there was only one time that I took notice when I was like, I watched a piece that was doing a replay of it was doing a piece on what all happened. But anyway, there was only one time that I see one person clapping in the Dems, and I think it was a woman. It was just a real quick show of their response. And I think there was only one time that I recall that I saw someone clapping.
It was shameful.
Yeah. I don't know who it was, but what's his face? Fetterman. He said that it was horrible how they acted, and he's even a senator now. You know, I'm guessing he was there, but you know, I'm wondering, you know, if he even bothered clapping. I'm guessing he did. He should keep his mouth shut if he didn't.
Well,
anyway.
I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you didn't see Fetterman change parties.
Oh yeah, he's done about face. Merle and I were talking about that. He's done a complete about face, you know.
Yep, he likes even what Trump's doing about trimming down the government, which tells me he's not dirty.
Right. Which it's kind of amazing because he was the mayor of Braddock here. A suburb of Pittsburgh, and everybody said how horrible of a mayor he was. He never did anything for Braddock. He's done. He's like, I'm telling you, I want a complete 180.
Well, for somebody that did terrible as a mayor, a lot of people voted for him, didn't they?
Well, yeah, he was. he's the second in command of the state, I forget what they call him. It's like the VP of the governor, you know. Next, I forget what they call him. But anyway, that's what he was first. And then now he got it elected as a senator, so go figure. But anyway, so it's pretty amazing, you know. And he's kinda like Musk in the way that except worse than Musk. Musk, you know, he doesn't dress up most of the time. He just wears a t-shirt or something like that. You know, he's not all about, you know, the dress and everything. But Fetterman, he'll wear shorts and sweatshirt and stuff like that. He's, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, but which is fine. You know, it's just it's kind of, you get a little tilt when you see everybody else, you know, dressed nice, and then here comes someone all in lounging clothes, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, for, you know, just all in comfy clothes. But anyway, so yeah, it was pretty sad, you know, and I'm just like, oh Lord, convict them of their. It's
yeah.
Just horrible, Lord.
Okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to comment on other than politics? We could go all night long on here. Nobody? Oh, y'all were cut and run? Oh, boy. Thank you, Lord. The shortest way to go straight to God was a continual exercise of love and doing all things for His sake. I got a question I want to ask. I'll get to you just in a minute, Teresa. I got something on my mind right now. We did this once before, probably a few years ago. Might have been closer than that, I don't remember. If you had to pick a verse to describe your walk with Christ or the way you would like to see yourself walking as Christ, what would it be? You want me to start it off? I got my Bible here. I got it all packed up. All right, go ahead, Missy.
Well, there's two that come to mind, but the first one that came to mind is, as He is, even so am I in this world. And if you abide in Him, you ought to walk as He walked.
Yeah, those are two good ones. Two good ones. All right, Julie.
I can't think of the address right now, but it's in Acts. It's in Him that I live and move and have my being.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Teresa, is that why you got your hand up?
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, because you were still asking about prayer requests. So I was going to ask you, what's the weather like? Because I've been watching the weather over the United States and there's been some things going on. But anyway, mine is Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. So that's my goal. And also and also for Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look right on and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So those two. Oh, and on 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. That group of verses there. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Amen. Good ones. Good ones, good ones. Yeah, Pat.
So, to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to the might of His glory, unto all patience and longsuffering with joy, to give thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and my favorite, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His Son, of the Son of His love. Amen.
Amen. All right, Ben.
Mine's a couple of verses.
Okay.
It's basically the first couple of verses in chapter 2 of Philippians. This is one that really caught my eye in the beginning of my walk. I guess I can just start from the first verse. If therefore any exhortation is in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy that ye think the same, having the same love, being of one soul, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, counting one another better than themselves, not looking each severally to his own things, but each severally also to those of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in God's form, counted not the being on an equality with God ought to be grasped at, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, being made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, yea, death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and endowed him with the name above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and on earth and under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. It's talking about his humility, and you know, this humility, it's the beginning of our obedient walk, and that's the love walk. That's why humility is so important. Michael's falling asleep again.
No, I'm not. I was thinking. Good comeback, wasn't it? Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
Let's see. I am also a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Verse before that. Let's see. The nations shall see thy righteousness and all the things thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall give. The mouth of the Lord shall name, and thou shalt be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. That's the bride, y'all. That's how we're supposed to see ourselves.
Yeah, your audio is going in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that better?
Much better.
Okay. I was reading Isaiah 62. That thou should be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. And Song of Solomon is like, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. That's other one too.
Yep. Amen. Monroe had he says, Galatians 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's one of mine too, Monroe. Believe it or not, it is. All right, anyone else? Sue, Debbie, Barbara, Joe?
Are you sharing scriptures that just mean a lot, have meant a lot to us? Is that what you're doing?
I didn't understand a word you said.
Are you having everyone share? Is everyone just sharing scriptures?
Okay. Yeah. Let me qualify. You just come in, didn't you? Okay. Yeah. What I asked was, what is your favorite verse that you want to describe yourself to be? I think that's what I played it, something like that.
Well, I can read this. It kind of answers that. It's 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are living, who are being saved, and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, to the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? So I guess I want to be that aroma, life to life.
Amen.
Some will be like to death too, but amen.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Barbara. If you're talking.
Sorry, you know, I know. I forgot to unmute. Sorry. I like Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death. To be like him.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, you don't have to have just one. You can have half a dozen if you want.
Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
Ben, it's some part of mine. I said that mine is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Who should, ye that should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. If you have a mind of Christ, you have Christ.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone else? I'm looking at something. Go ahead, Andrew.
I like this one. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, unreprovable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to God, through whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Of course, that's a promise. So I know it more so in the King James, because I read that one in the NENT, though. It's a little different.
Amen.
Like, there's some really good Psalms, too.
Okay.
Well, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. So that's a real good psalm. I forget which number it is. It's just that something I memorized a long time ago, and it's kind of your journey, and it's really nice to have stuff in you that the Lord put in you a long time ago. Just want to remember.
Amen.
You know, I wish I could remember Psalm 91 like that, you know, but I got a few of them down. And
are you working on it?
Kids are really good at this, because you know why? They want to remember things by heart, you know. So they want it written upon their heart. They want that functioning word through them. You know, God is sovereign over everything.
Yeah.
Everything. You want to be obedient. Your desire is to the Father.
Amen. Anyone else? All right. Yeah, Julie, go ahead. I was looking at something.
I know you're, I can tell you're looking at something else. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yeah.
Like, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved me.
Amen.
And I'm an overcomer too, and so are you.
I'm an overcomer.
We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We love our lives. I can still hear them singing it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Yeah, Julie.
I'm an heir in Christ. I'm a joint heir in Christ. And I'm a son. I'm a son of God.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And what else? Vanita and Josie, we are picking out a scripture, the best scripture that you know of. There are, it is that that you'd like to be like Jesus out of the scriptures. What scripture would you like to be like Jesus? I guess I can't remember what I says.
It's a scripture that describes you, how you see yourself, or how.
Yeah, there you go.
Describes yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Julie.
I'm dead to sin and alive unto God.
Amen. That is right. That is so right.
And I let not therefore sin reign in my mortal body that I should obey the lust thereof.
Amen.
Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's just some verses I pretty much commonly quote every day. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Living is the word of God and active.
Amen. I'm a doer of the word, glory to God, and not just a hearer.
Yeah. I want to be activated by him in the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen. Yeah, Judy? Where'd she? Oh, okay. Yeah, you got your hand right.
I'm here. Let's see. I have his divine power. By his divine power, I have all things that pertain unto life and godliness and the knowledge of him that called me unto his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto me his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these I am a partaker of his divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's your best confession? What is your best confession at your mouth? Yeah, Julie.
I don't live anymore. Jesus lives in me, and it's in him I live and move and have my being, and I'm dead. Jesus lives by faith, and he's manifesting it in me. Praise God. I die every day. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Excuse me.
I have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
That's a good.
And we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. That's a good one.
Amen. I am loved, and I am loved because God's children are loved.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got a good confession that you always confess every day? I'm not. You go ahead. I'll get this one later.
I've been granted all things in Christ Jesus. I have been given his authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise harm me. Praise the Lord. And the demons are all subject unto me in his name. It is written. I quote, it is written a lot whenever I speak those things too. It is written. So that's what Jesus said. It is written.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Ben.
No weapon formed against me shall harm me.
Amen. Another great one. What does that mean? Ben Slajewski. Add his contact. Add contact. Already have you in there. What's the matter with this thing? I don't know what's going on. Okay, Joe.
Christ give you a hope of glory.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Missy.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. And
I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not on my own understanding. I acknowledge him in all my ways, and he will direct my paths. I am not wise in my own eyes. I fear the Lord, and I depart from evil. For it will be health to my bones, and
life to my bones, maybe life to my bones.
For
health to all my flesh, maybe.
Wise in my own eyes. Fear the Lord. For it will be health to my navel. It will be health to my navel and marrow to my bones. Health to my navel and marrow to my bones.
Amen. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, well, you asked about something we confess every day, which I do. I'm in this body every day, so I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And I'm delivered and set free. And I'm saved by Jesus' grace and faith by that grace, though. That's what I confess every day.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, man.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Amen. That's a good one. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead. Oh, you didn't. You just didn't lower your hand, did you? Okay, I got you. What? Okay, Debbie, go ahead.
Sorry, did you do? And I did. Okay, there you go. I'm good.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. He is on my right hand. Therefore, my heart rejoices and my glory rejoices. Oh, gosh, I've forgotten how that goes. Set the Lord always before me. Therefore, I have to look it up. But the other one is, I had a brain fart, y'all. I can't remember. What was I going to say?
Amen.
Set the Lord. before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices, and my body shall dwell in safety. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'll fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou was called, and didst confess the good confession before many witnesses. And himself took our infirmities and bore the sicknesses, and by his stripes you were healed.
Okay.
You got one more.
Yeah, go ahead.
I am perfected forever by one offer.
Amen. Yeah, Ben.
I confess that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, that's good. My God is supplying all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. Hebrews 13:6. Joseph says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Praise God. She says, I agree with that. Dead to sin, alive to God, but be doers of the word and not hearers on it, deceiving yourself. Yeah, Ben.
I confess that I am the righteousness of God in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Therefore, I possess the ability to stand freely in God's holy presence and in Satan's presence as a victor.
Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Therefore, I'll speak words of life only. Jesus says in John 6:63 that his words are life, so I'm going to speak life, glory to God. There's much more. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. For I walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I'm moved only by what I believe. I believe the word of God, for the old word is true. John 17:17. Thank you, Lord. Okay, has anybody got anything else?
Michael?
Yeah.
I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my mighty deliverer. He delivers me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence.
That's Psalm 91. Yeah. Yeah, Ben.
I was reading off some of the what I confess I possess. I'm gonna confess that I didn't memorize all those.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
But if it's okay with you, the ending of what you shared with us is really good.
Yeah,
the last couple of it's a bit lengthy, so if you want to bear with me, it says these things affirm constantly. God is who He says He is. I am who God says I am. God can do what he says he can do. I can do what God says I can do. God has what he says he has. I have what God says I have. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes, I am. What does that mean? It means that the moment I received Christ as my personal Savior and Lord, I was born into God's royal family. I am a son of God. God has created me now in Christ Jesus. He has put new life into me. I have been born from above, born of the Spirit. Everything that God creates is good. I will not run down my life because my life is in Christ. He made me and not myself. I am what he has made me to be, a new creature. I will not belittle myself, for I am in Christ, and in Christ I have been granted new life. The old life is gone. I am a citizen of a new kingdom. My citizenship is in heaven. If you see an angel, ask him, and he will tell you that my name is written down in heaven. Oh, wonder of wonders, I am a new creation in Christ, created by God, his own workmanship. God is now working within me both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. What is God doing within me? He is building me up, making me strong in faith. How is he doing this? By his own word. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. How do I know this? 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of the greatest statements among others that tells me this fact. I am now righteous in Christ, not only a new creature in Christ, but righteous in Christ. What does it mean to be righteous? It means that I possess the divine ability to be able to stand in God's holy presence without any sense of unworthiness. It means that God has made me righteous with his own righteousness. I stand before him with no sense of unworthiness. So now that I am complete in Christ, I am free from that old inferiority complex that once held me captive. Hallelujah. I am redeemed from the kingdom of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Once I was held in the realm of spiritual darkness, Satan was my Lord and Master. I was chained, bound, doomed for eternity in hell. But then Jesus came and broke the bonds, loosed my soul from eternal damnation, and gave me his life. I am now in that great kingdom where he reigns as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He invites me to join him right on the throne. I reign with him in life. Yes, I am redeemed. Once I lived in awful bondage to Satan. Sin was my master. I lived to gratify the flesh. But now in this new kingdom, sin has no dominion over me. In the old kingdom of darkness, I lived under the sway of sickness, fear, poverty, failure. I was held by unclean powers. But now through the blood of Jesus, I have been delivered. I say it boldly. Goodbye, sickness. Goodbye, fear. Goodbye, lack. Goodbye, weakness. I am free. Now I live in a new kingdom, the heavenly kingdom where there is life, light, liberty, joy, peace, health, assurance, blessing, and power. What a redemption is mine. What a redeemer I have. I am an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. To be saved isn't a light thing. I have received a rich inheritance. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My Father loves me as he loved the Lord Jesus. My own wonderful Father is greater than all. He loves me with an everlasting love. Yes, I am blessed with heaven's best. My Christ said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. That's how closely I am linked with him. He's that living vine, and I am a branch of that vine. The same life, love, joy, peace, power, wisdom, and ability that flow in the vine flow into the branch. Wherever I, the branch, go, the vine life flows. I have the life of God in my mortal body, right now, not just when I get to heaven, but now. My spirit has been quickened, made alive. Now I live and move and have my being in Christ. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. I am what God says I am. Praise to God. He's sinking again.
I am. Because I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Who strengthens me. All right.
Hey, Michael, what's that confession called that Ben just read? That little booklet that you put together?
Confessions of the Word?
What I Confess I Possess.
There you go.
Monroe was asking what he was reading from. I don't know if he has a copy of that.
Like I sent everybody a copy.
I'll double check.
I think that's what it's called. There's so many of them. There's a lot of them online. Charles Capps has one. Kenneth Hagin has one. I got one. Not of Works. Oh, that's pretty good. Josie. Daily Confessions. No, it's not. You want me to send you, Monroe, I'll send you a copy of it. It's in booklet form and you can print it out. No, it's not on the site, I don't think. Let me see if I can get a... Anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about tonight?
Michael?
Yes.
We're going to talk about Hebrews 4:13. That's kind of where we left off on Tuesday.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And that's talking about the Word of God. I'm going to put 12 in there too. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What's he talking about there? Pretty obvious he's talking about the Lord, isn't he? The Word. Word's open. It can see you. It knows you. It's an awesome book. He said he was the Word made flesh. Somebody even had that. I believe it was Julie. Yep. She had it. Yeah, Julie.
I guess I was thinking, it's like, yeah, he's our creator, and he knows every thought that we have and the intention of our thoughts, even before we have them. So there's nothing hidden. There's nothing hidden before.
What is this? Oh, Benjamin put it on there on UBM Fellowship chat. Monroe, you can pick it up there. Or anybody can. Okay, does anybody want to comment on what we just got through reading? For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What in the world is he talking about there? Just go ahead and talk. I'm looking at something.
I just share something real quick. Many years ago, a lot of years ago, I had a chance to share this verse 13. I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I was at a restaurant with my two oldest, Kim and Albert. They were little then, but we're at a restaurant, just me and them. And there is two guys behind us, the booth behind us, talking, you know, my kids didn't pay attention to it, but they were talking about, you know, what they did with the girls there with the night before and things like that. And I just felt so strongly that I was to give them this verse, this one particular guy. I was talking, I said, and I wrote down a piece of paper, and I said, I need to give you this to you. The Lord told me to give this to you to read. So he opened it up, and I kind of looked back, said, we were leaving then. And I looked back, and he was reading it. And I've often thought about him and just prayed for that young man, you know. I don't know what that, what God did in him, but that was the verse I gave him. You know, this isn't hidden from anybody, so. God sees. Anyway, I hope it put the fear of the Lord in him.
Lord sees everything, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. He sees everything. I believe that word sees everything. You open that word up and it's looking right at you.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to comment on those two verses there? Yeah, Missy.
It makes me think of Psalm 139 where it says, even darkness is light to God. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our sitting down and our rising up.
Yep. Thou searchest out my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my way. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Yep, that's basically the same thing. Did you have something you wanted to share, Debbie?
Oops. I needed
Yeah. Verse 12 reminds me of quantum faith. Yeah. All right, has anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about?
Michael?
Yeah, Joe?
It's not really a question, maybe just people's comments on 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 17. It's about Naaman, the leper, who go to Elisha to be healed. But what I was thinking about why did Naaman say to him at 7, he got 2 mules burden of earth? He wants to have 2 mules just with earth. Why do you think that? Maybe just people comment on that.
Let me read the verse. It says, and Naaman said, if not, yet I pray thee, let there be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. All right, it's open.
He wants to, Naaman wants to give Elijah a present, but he says he don't want any presents because it's of the Lord. But that, just why did he give him 2 mules burden of earth? I just want to give him ground. What's it? Is it different ground? Where does the ground come from, man? Is it the ground from Elijah, or is it just mostly spiritual? I have to look at.
All right, anybody got any answers here? I'm looking at what some of these people say, and boy, some of them are completely off. Did you have something that you wanted to share with about it, Joe?
No, I was just thinking it's all about he wants to, he's got his own God, but now he wants this earth to, it's like an altar. I think it referred to as an altar. You build an altar of the Lord before you do a sacrifice. Oh, it's an Old Testament, but I'm not sure about how to think about that. That's why I'm asking. Maybe somebody else's comment on it. But the answer's up, Michael.
I see.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anybody? Yeah, go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry. I didn't see you. I was looking at something.
When I first read this, the thing that hit me, I'm not quite sure about the 2 mules of earth, but I know that I'm just going down here. One of the things that Naaman, one of the things that he requested of Elijah here, was it Elijah? Am I way out of line here?
It's Elisha.
Elisha, I'm sorry. He was a servant, or a servant of the other nation's king, and he had to when he went and obeyed Elisha and dipped the seven times, and came up healed, he realized that Elisha's God was God. And yet he had to go back and continue his service for the king. And part of the service to his king was that he had to, if you look at the verse 18 after that, he said, and so 17 says, and Naaman said, if not yet, I pray thee, let there be given to thy servant two mules, burden of earth. Let me go back to 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a present of thy servant. But he said, as Jehovah liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, if not, I pray thee, let there be given to thy servant two mules, burden of earth. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto Jehovah. And I think he was requesting to take the ground from Israel so that he could take it back to his place. Because in this thing, Jehovah pardon thy servant. When my master goeth in into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, Jehovah pardon thy servant in this thing. So what he was asking Elijah was that, I do not recognize this God of Rimmon. I recognize that there's only one God, and he dwells in Israel. But I have a responsibility, and I have a I am servant to this king, and part of my responsibility is to hold his hand or allow him, it leans on my hand as he bows in worship to this God. And he was saying to Elisha, ask the Lord to forgive me of this, for when I bow down, I'm not bowing down to Rimmon, but I am holding you up in my heart in this thing, in obedience to the king that I've been called to serve under. And Elisha said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. And then there's the other story about the other people. So I think the two mules burden of earth had to do with taking a place of Israel back with him. For that was his true worship and his true God and the Lord. And he made that connection with God in that process. So I'm not, you know, I kind of just have a vague, you know, concept of what he's doing is taking a piece of the earth back with him or something. So I don't know if that hits any thoughts with you or anything there. So that's kind of what I was thinking.
All right, anyone else? Yeah, Teresa.
I wouldn't know for sure, but I'm guessing that maybe the earth was so he could build an altar to the true God of Israel, you know, the Heavenly Father that he was recognizing as God, because he couldn't go to the temple in Israel because he lived in a different land. And so, you know, he's trying to bring something back with him that represented the God of Israel, the Heavenly Father, so he could worship the Heavenly Father in his own land. You know, to the earth, I think the earth probably was to build an altar to the true God in his land.
All right. Joe?
I was thinking the same as Teresa said. Well, not thinking. I remember now when I was reading this, when I studied it, I think a couple of days ago, is in Exodus 20, verse 24. You shall make an altar. You shall make an altar of earth for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offering and your peace offering, your sheep and your oxen.
Okay. Makes sense. All right, anything else? Oh, let's see here, just a second. Hebrews. Yep, could be. All right, has anybody got any questions or any answers or anything I'd like to throw out there? This is potpourri. You know, I heard something. What was it? The guy was talking about reading the Bible. I sent it to a couple of you. He's talking about reading the Bible. You have to help me here with it, Missy. And he said, if you just read the Bible, maybe you could help me out, Missy. What did he say? Something about you read it once a day. What was it?
I don't know. He just gave a bunch of different statistics. Like one day, I forget. We can look it up and it's real short. You can watch it if you want. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah. I don't remember where it was, but I saw it. Was it YouTube? No, it might have been on X or Instagram. Probably.
Didn't David share that in the Bible study, like a Friday night or something? That short little Let me see. I think I will have it. I'll find it.
I don't remember. I might still have it in my messages. Oh boy.
I found it, Julie, and I sent it to you. I texted it to you.
Go ahead and share it. I'll go ahead and let you.
Is it that four times a week thing? You're muted, Missy.
You're muted.
Yeah, praise that's what Lord. It is. I think that's what it is, four times a week. Did you find it? I texted it to you. I don't know if you can bring it up on your computer there.
She's something about one. Pretty neat.
Yeah, Michael, give me share screen permissions.
You already got it. You already got it.
You're on it.
I got it, girl. While she's doing that, I'll tell you. You remember what they said about the doctor said about praying in the spirit, don't you?
If you do it a lot, Do it a lot.
Yeah, if you pray in the spirit for 30 minutes, that builds up your immune system 30%. I think that's what it was. And then if you do it for an hour, 60%. Then if you do it for an hour and a half, that's 90%. If you do it for, is that right? Yeah, if you do it for, yeah, Missy.
Well, what comes to my mind is some Romans 8, I believe it is. I forget exactly how it goes, but it's something to the effect. If the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the Spirit of God will also raise, give life to your mortal body, something like that.
If the same Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within you, he that raised Jesus, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, also, it's like 820, 817, 820, so on.
I'm talking about praying in the spirit.
Yeah, but doesn't
do it a lot.
Wouldn't it do the same? Praying in the spirit give life to your mortal bodies?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got it ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
We don't see anything. Are you playing it, Julie?
Something working right. I gotta know what I did wrong, but I'll try it again. I wasn't hearing anything. I was playing it.
Well, there was nothing
on anything on my screen.
Nope, it was all black.
Okay, help me, Lord.
Did you check your little boxes over the audio and the video? Okay. It's not showing. There it is.
The recent study by the Center for Bible Engagement, where they pulled 40,000 general population in the U.S. from 8 to 80, and They just wanted to see how we are engaging with Scripture.
Right.
And they discovered something that actually became kind of the profound discovery of the entire study. They weren't even looking for this, and this is kind of became the highlight of the study.
Right.
When we're in the Scripture one time a week, and that could be church on Sunday. That's pastor saying you open your Bible, we hear the message. One time a week had negligible effect on some key areas of your life. So I'm going to spell that out more here in a moment. Two times a week, negligible effect. Now, at three times a week, there was a blip on the map. Like, there was a heartbeat. Something happened. Again, a heartbeat.
Okay.
But here was a profound discovery. When we're in the Scripture four times a week, it literally spikes off the chart. You would expect that it'd be one, two, I mean, there'd be a gradual incline on the effect and impact that would have in your life, but it was literally one, two, three, four, something radically happens.
Okay, you got my curiosity.
To this extent.
What kind of behavior is being affected?
Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the
Bible. Four times a week in the Bible.
Okay.
Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about, is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in Scripture? If they're in the Scripture four times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
Viewing pornography drops 61%.
That's very important.
Now, on a flip positive side, sharing your faith jumps 200%.
Wow.
Because you have a confidence in God's word. And then discipling others jumps 230%.
That's amazing right there.
I wonder if there was a length in there of the times when he read the Bible. He said, when you read it four times a week, how long? I wonder. I would say it more than an hour.
He never said how long they did that study for.
How long?
I said they didn't say how long they did the study.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Let's not forget that this was 8-year-olds to 80-year-olds. How long does an 8-year-old spend in the Bible? And I'm sure the 80-year-old spends a lot more time, hopefully. Anyway, but not necessarily, too. Considering, you know, that there was a boy prophet that was 8 years old. So, and he was doing all of Hophni and Phinehas' jobs. So, anyway. So, I really think it has to do with what everyone else in the family is doing, too. Because if the parents aren't going to do it, the kids aren't going to do it. You know?
Well, and yeah, it's the parents.
Yeah. But then again, you could have an older child who might be in his teens and set an example for the parents. You know,
yeah.
And that would work too, you know. And, you know, sometimes it's just one person in the family that could change things. But it's all God. It has to be all from the Lord, of course. Yeah. I remember a long time ago, I have my list here. It's just something I kept. It's almost all falling apart. On scripture verses that I used to have to practice every Friday saying them. And it helped me, you know. It helps me now because, you know, you get to remember them ever since, you know. I would have loved to be in a family where there was a Bible in the house and people read from it. Because some churchgoers, they don't do that at all in their house, you know. And they go to a church where they're not even told to read the Bible at home and stuff. So it's it's different with other people who, at least there's someone there, maybe grandma or grandpa, who are reading the Bible, and they don't really give that that prayer time, worship time, like it's all in church for them, you know? Like it's that 1 hour in church, and that is really a little bit. You don't really learn too much, and they don't know the Lord, many of these people in some of these denominations. And I think if you're one of those people who came from such a background, to set the example is what you would like to do. And they know when they come over, they see all the papers and stuff. So anyway, that's glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
It's kind of interesting how he mentioned that four times, if you read four times, it immediately skyrockets. And it just, you know, the way that, church is set up, you know, usually you have Sunday morning, then Sunday evening, and then Wednesday, you know, prayer meeting, which is ends up being like a, you know, another message, basically. And so that's three times a week. And if you are more active than the normal church routine, then you're probably, you have, there's a fourth in there somewhere that may not be necessarily connected with the traditional, you know, system. But what I thought was interesting, I mean, I'm not quite sure. I have to think about that skyrocketing thing. But, and that's when a lot of the, you know, the problems, issues, or whatever start to decrease when, you know, when one takes up that, you know, I'm going to say additional reading other than the standard times at church or whatever. And then it's interesting that it catapulted. What did he say about the 200% or jump 200% for sharing that which you had, or which you had read, or not quite sure what exactly what he was saying there, or exactly what the application was. But then, so there was a 200%, and then there was a 230%. What were those? Do you remember what those were that he was talking about?
She said sharing your faith is 250%. It rises up 250%.
Okay. Interesting.
I don't know. We ought to run it one more time. Let's write down what the thing is. We'll take just a minute.
Let's see.
Can you post that link as well?
Yeah, sure. So, feeling spiritually stagnant, dropped 60%. Viewing pornography dropped 61%. You're sharing your faith jumps 200% because you now have confidence in God. Discipling others jumps 230%. That was how it ended. Discipling others jumped 230%. And sharing your faith was 200%.
Pornography dropped down how much to zero?
61, it dropped 61%.
Yeah, I was going to question that. Like, wouldn't it be 0% you would want on that? You know, maybe he's got to watch it for another, read his Bible for another, get his daily bread, you know, and do it for 7 days a week. Or I'm not trying to be legalistic or anything, but you're not supposed to have any of that. And, you know, you're fighting the good fight of the faith. You know, you're casting down imagination. Sometimes you'll say, "Where did that come from?" And it's got to go. You know, so you got to take that into account. You know, you can't. You know, and that's, I would think because it's so prevalent, maybe that's it, because that's the only thing I could say is it's so prevalent in some of the bigger cities and stuff, and people, I guess, don't understand that they have authority in Christ to tread upon serpents that, you know, what was that study they said a long time ago? When you get bit by a snake, it attacks your mind, and that's you know, you don't want to be snake bit, and it gives you false prophecy, false teachings in your head, and you get craziness in your head, you know, and you know it. It's just something you come against, because and when you get bit by a scorpion, that could attack your body, give you worry or fear. You know, it's like a bug. You know, you see a bug, ooh, you know, you run away. You see the hornet, and if you ever get bit by a bug, it attacks that person's particular part of his body, maybe his walk, maybe his works with his hand or something. So it gives you worry and anxiety and anxiousness and stuff, and so that was something a long time ago. I have a paper here somewhere where I wrote on that, on that study, because I found it really good. And of course there's other, because you have the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing in no wise shall hurt you. See, there's every unclean bird over there in Revelation chapter 18. So what's that? And then there's the larger principalities, I think, in with the leopard and the bear and the lion and the dragon and the frogs, spirit-like frogs, came out of the false prophet's mouth. Well, you know, is it coming out now out of some of the false prophets and stuff? So, you know, if it's over all the power of the enemy, and he's mentioning these other uncleannesses associated with, I guess, a mad lion, a mad bear and stuff, and an elusive leopard or whatever, it's something you have to overcome. It's like when people, I think a leopard is when someone's being really nice to you up front, and really they have a different, they'll jump on your back as soon as you turn around the other way, you know, but whatever it is, you know, you have authority over it. Of course, it'll be all those lists of negative spirits that are in Isha chapter 5, when we want God's spirits. You know, there was a video there I listened to. What's the Book of Enoch? It's kind of like done with computers, and they have really nice pictures in it. And you read some of the Book of Enoch to you. And I didn't know anything about the book, so it was just like an hour-long video and on YouTube. And I was listening to that, and it even mentions Jesus Christ in that Book of Enoch. The references, you know, he doesn't come right out and say Jesus Christ, but it mentions the Messiah. It mentions it there. And it was interesting just to listen to it. Anyway. For the amount of word he needed to have, you know, it's kind of grounds you a bit and gets you focused. Because, you know, he had the revelation that a big flood was coming also. And they also he also knew that the name of the guy when this happened was going to be Noah. And I think he even met Noah when he was a young boy in the book. So, they lived so long, their ages overlapped, you know. And even though he was only on the earth for 365 years, but that's okay, because you've got apparently some people over there in America that are still being paid their, that are really old, I heard. I don't know, you know.
Over 300 years old.
Yeah, so.
still getting paid their Social Security. We've got some longevity here.
Yeah.
You need to be part of this country.
Yeah, it must be from when it was a British colony, too, you know.
That's older than what this country is.
The interesting thing is it's older than Social Security.
Absolutely. I'd like to find out who it was that was receiving that check. I bet he's sitting up there in the House or the Senate.
Michael?
Hi, Joe.
Can I just tell Andrew, if you want to read that about the scorpions and the serpents, it's on God's vaccine book, Anxiety and Fear, if you just read that. And what David talks about, it's serpents, it's about false prophecy, mixing your head, and the scorpions, it's he's telling this, penetrate and put to flight. That's infirmities on your body, your sickness and all those, and serpents are just with your head.
Well, that's, yeah, and I was kind of relating it to also when you get tempted, because
yeah,
that's the serpent's poison coming into your mind and getting you to love something else other than the love of God, of course, because God knows everything that goes on in your mind. He knows when you're being tempted, and he knows when you need help. And he knows that you want that out of you. You don't want to dwell on that. And he comes and rescues you from that. You know, and because you're casting it down, you don't want that. It's like, I don't know if it does collate with chapter 7 of Romans, where you're on the Lord's side for what is good and right. When the Lord sees that you're on his side, you know, there's a lot of people don't sometimes understand those verses at the end of chapter 7 in Romans, where it says, where Paul is probably in his early days of Christianity, and he's struggling with this item that's attacking him, like the flesh, you know. So it comes right after 7 and 12, where he says the law is holy. And then he goes on all the way down to chapter 8, where the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that freed us from the law of sin and death. So he says, Allah won't make you holy. But, you know, when you get on God's side, he'll give you the victory in it, because he knows you don't want that. And the interesting thing there is I would think that that would work with other things too, because you want to be on the Lord's side for everything. You know, fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto you were called. So it's a new life, not a law. Basically, it's not a law. It's a life that you're getting from Jesus. And if you're going to lay hold of your eternal life, which God called you to anyway, so that's what you should do. Praise and glory to God.
Amen.
You see, some of these verses, when you're fighting the good fight of the faith, you're actually casting down imaginations. You know, you can combine these as a warfare too. Fight the good fight of the faith, casting down imaginations, authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. So and what's the other good one there in Psalm 91? What's the fowler the fowler one there, to escape the bonds of the fowler and the deadly pestilence. Yeah, so praise and glory to God.
Amen.
Now, if you're going to strike with the sword, you keep doing it. You can also throw in where Jesus, by his stripes you were healed, and himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Yes, like we were told, you can't sit on your sword. Because these are the words of God, they're the creative word. These are the ones where he says to you, for we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. And we want to walk in the light, and we want to walk in the truth. So, and we want to walk in love to God. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. No greater joy do I have than to see my children walking in the truth. So the truth will set you free. So and where the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit is liberty. So there you have it. You know, there's a lot of sword manipulation there. You know, you can almost see how much you need to cherish that word of God, and of course you can't do anything without God, you know, because he's the one who has to guard the deposit, and you guard the deposit too. I can't say fully what's going on in the spiritual realm when a person does that. Anyway, praise God.
Amen.
You know, just to get back to Hebrews 4:12-13, It says there, a discerner. I just want to get to my American English New Testament. A discerner of thoughts. You know, you get a thought in your head, and you need this word of God that's living and active. Because sin is threefold. It comes as a thought, then it comes as an emotion, and then it comes as an action. But a thought can also be righteous, and it also is an emotion, and it comes as an action. So your thought and discerner, you know, a discerner is, you know, if it smells funny or if it tastes funny, it's not right for you. But the discerner is there too in your thought, because this discerner and thoughts together, if you're not going to be with the word of God, it's on a different word. So, you know, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits to see whether they're of God, you know. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And that's the mystery of godliness too, manifested in the flesh. This manifestation is the activeness. You want God to activate these, his word through you, over you, and in you. So that's what he said he did. That's one of the seven. And the intents of the heart. So it tells you that you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. So the intent that is supposed to be in your heart is of that word. What is supposed to be in your soul is what's in your intent. And what's in your spirit is what's in your heart. Because we get a new life to love God with. You know, you don't want necessarily that spirit to be divided from your soul, because the first Adam was a living soul. The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. So you want that regenerated spirit to kind of shine through into your soul to bear fruit in there. Because it's all one big house, you know, it's part of your temple. The Holy of Holies is the spirit. The holy place is your soul. And the outer court is where the flesh was sacrificed. So, and you want you to be manifesting in the flesh, the mystery of godliness. So, and then the joints and marrow, there's, again, it's likened to the soul and spirit. Just like the discerner and the thoughts and the intents in the heart. And that's why it says that, and there is no creature not manifested in his sight. Well, your manifestation, you want to be in accordance to the living word of God, as it says in the beginning of the 4 and 12 here. Because there are other words a person can manifest, as you know, it says it in Galatia chapter 5, the fruits, the manifestations of the flesh and the manifestations of the spirit. And, you know, there's, well, I think Michael quoted earlier the proverb, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and he who loves it shall eat the fruit thereof. So the death fruit would be the flesh, the life fruit would be the spirit of God's fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, long-suffering. And I think you should spend more time on that side to have the positive thoughts in your head constantly. And the positive thoughts that are there in be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then there's the very second part of that, for the rest, brethren, to concentrate on those things that are virtuous, that are lovely, that are pure, in Philippians chapter 4. And if you put your mind on that, if you put your mind just even quoting the nine fruits, the nine gifts, the many of the blessings that you should have in your head from the and to think on the positive items, the behaviors of Christ. He's filling you with holiness of his behavior. You know, and we're supposed to I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God. And you know, there's a blessing with mercy too. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll receive mercy. So these blessings apply to God too. And if you're going to be merciful, he'll be merciful to you. it's in the Lord's Prayer, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against you. So, you know, these merciful items, those blessings in Matthew chapter 5 are the blessings you get, you know, and he'll put that right in your head. He put 8 of them in my head almost overnight one day, you know. We were studying it, and then we studied it again, and then the second time, it's like he put 8 of them right in there. I don't know the 9th one too well. And I was saying, man, I didn't even study it. Well, we did study it, but it's not like I was rehearsing it over and over again, and I found myself capable of one day just, hey, I can say them all. And that's kind of neat, because the God of heaven can do that with the person. He can put words in you. And of course, I really want for him to put the actions in me, you know, to be active in this, to more or less don't let anyone get you going. Because it's pretty bad out there when I used to go to work, you know, I'm not privy to that on a 8 hours or however long a person's at work anymore. And, you know, you have to, it's hard not to judge in your head and say, oh, that's a lost person over there. You have to be sorrowful for that person. You know, that you have to have a sorrow. It's an eternity. You can't be panicking or anxious over it. I sometimes wonder what God thinks, or what Jesus thinks, you know, or what the angels think. We're privy to something and we want to make it known to others out of love. These are lost people. These are people that need correction too in the church, who know the salvation message. You know, the people in the second land of the parable of the sower know the salvation message. The people in the third land, they know the salvation message. They know it because when you go to the other parable where Jesus talks about that the Lord wants to give his son a wedding feast, he called those bidden, but they were too busy. And that's the person in the third land of the parable of the sower, the cares of this world. You know, I know I got a piece of land. I have to go check it out, Lord. Can't come to the mountain. Can't come to the wedding feast. And I got myself 5 tractors, you know, two new ones and 3 secondhand ones, you know. Sometimes these new vehicles don't start, you know. I got to go prove them, you know. I don't think there's too many people using oxen nowadays, but maybe somewhere. But, you know. Do they have 2 motors on them? Tractors?
The Amish, Andrew, they're using them. The Amish are still using them.
Yeah, the old motor has to lead the new motor, you know, because that ox, that's the new ox, he's just a big, tough, young ox. And the old ox knows the ropes. He walks straight. And he said, don't look at them cows over there. Keep walking straight. Anyways, That's what and of course the plowman is the Lord, and someone has to be dropping the seed in the ground too. So anyway, praise God. So there's and who are these virgins that are foolish, and who are the wise ones? You know, and is it 50-50 or is it 75%, 25%, you know? Well, I think it's in different lands, in different areas. You know, in your area of your country where you live, it might be 66%. You might have some people having 5 talents producing 5 or 2 producing 2. And then there's the guy who didn't produce 1 for his 1. He didn't even produce interest. So what's going on there, you know? And then there's him dividing the sheep from the goats. And a lot of people think the goats are outside the church. No, they're in the church. Check it out again in Matthew 25. these parables, you know, are interlocked. And then, of course, there's the verse at the back of the Bible where it says, in the last page, let the unrighteous be unrighteous still, and the filthy be made filthy still, and the righteous be righteous still, and the holy be made holy still. That's the parable of the weeds in chapter 13. That's what's going to happen. The good seed grows together with the bad seed. And you want to be on the side of the good seed. So that there's a plethora of things that the Lord will put into you. And sometimes you don't think nothing's going in yet. You just hang around these people from UBN, man. You go on Tuesday nights, on Wednesday nights, on Thursday nights, and on Sunday nights. Hey, there's your 4 days.
Friday night too.
Friday nights too. Yeah, there's 5 days, you know. And of course, what are you going to do on your off days? Well, you're so used to having all those 5 days, you're going to do the off days too. And pretty soon you'll find yourself, hey, I'm going outside and I'm the one talking to people. I'm not as shy as I used. People are shy, you know. Tall people are shy, and they don't like to make waves too much. And if you're tall, you know, you're more likely to be picked on than a small guy. You know, if you're a nice old gray haired man, you know, they'll listen to you. Anyway, so. Just trying to get Michael to have a nice rest. Anyway, so praise and glory to God, and get on your peace train and be a holy roller. Yeah, and it's a straight track, straight and narrow. You know, you got to put them flat and straight. You know, through the narrow door, the narrow gate. Sometimes they make those tunnels for the trains. Exact size. They make the bridges that way too, you know. And if you're trying to cross that bridge and the train's coming, man, what do you do? Anyway, praise God. Glory to God. And I'd like to read something if I can.
Well, sure.
I watched a Christian movie documentary. It was Hudson Taylor. And I'm going to put my glasses on for this. Hope I can see. Oh yeah, it's a little better. This is just a saying at the end of the movie, because it shows you at this movie kind of documentary of his work in China back in the 1800s. And he had this saying at the very end, and it sort of touched me, so I copied it down. The Lord Jesus received, and of course that's through repentance and belief, his holiness begun. The Lord Jesus cherished, his holiness advancing. The Lord Jesus counted upon as never absent, would be holiness complete, abiding, not striving or struggling, but resting in the love of the Almighty Savior. May he lead us in the realization of his unsearchable fullness. And he does give John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you, even as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine. Thus neither ye unless ye abide in me, and I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Who abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. I don't strive for faith. I strive to rest in God's faithfulness, and not in my righteousness or wisdom or strength, but yours, Lord, all we need. And he was a very humble person. You know, he started putting on the outfits of the ancient Chinese people. He used the Chinese figures of writing because it looked like apparently, if you take apart their writing, you can see other things in there. And they were really enamored with this Bible and that, some of the words they wrote down. They received it just so lovingly on the inner of China. It was amazing. Anyway, and he really didn't have much of a grasp on healing or the fruits of the Spirit either. But he really had a good grasp on discernment and how to speak the word, you know, and how to get a good discerning of spirits and word of knowledge. And those are gifts of the Spirit, you know, and he knew how to do those things. And God used him because there was no one else to use to bring the word there. Of course, we want the Lord to restore all things for us, too. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. All right. Lord, I just thank you for you being with us every day. I thank you, Lord, to remind us to be in the Word as much as possible. I know some of us work, but a lot of us don't. The Word is the place to be. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that every one of us will take the time to sit aside and read and study the Word of God, either through studies or through just reading the Bible itself. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father God, I just ask and I pray for your protection all the way back to Arkansas. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. That I'll have a good trip there and a good trip back. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request before we shut off?
Michael?
Hey.
Judge Joe, just a praise for the Lord, just a big thank you, Lord, for we got lots and lots and lots of rain. Most of our dams, I'm talking about the top part of the country, most of our dams are almost full now. It's walls about full. So it's unbelievable how the Lord blesses us with rain. So just a big thank you for Father for giving us all the rain. Amen.
Amen. There's an old time prayer I talked about at the beginning of this that I will pray at some time, and he does. He thanks him for everything. Thank you for my house, Lord. I praise you and I thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord, that I'm able to be here tonight. I thank you, Lord. You know, and he goes on and on and on. Really neat. I remember listening to those old timey Pentecostal guys. Go ahead. Is that Debbie?
Michael, yes. I have a prayer request to share. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
My daughter called me, Vanessa did, and her daughter, my granddaughter, Savea's boyfriend's parents have been in Scandinavia for many years. Afghanistan for many years. And as missionaries, in a way, they work with developing education in the education system somehow, but they get the word in there. They sneak it in real subtle ways. Well, one day all of a sudden, this authorities there, whoever you call them, they're over there in Afghanistan. Oh, the Taliban, she said, yeah. Busted into their home and took them away, so his boyfriend's parents, his name is Jonah, took Jonah's parents away. And so she asked me to be praying. I said, yeah, I'd share this for prayer. I pray for their safety. And so that's my granddaughter's boyfriend's parents. But and she's asked me to pray for Jonah too, because he's really kind of upset about it, of course. Anyway. So, Lord, we just put them in your hands, Lord God, and thank you, Lord, that you're going to, you know that you can deliver them out of the lion's mouths, God. You can do that, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that you would just, that you would do that. You would deliver them, and that, and you would even use them in this, whatever form of captivity they're in, Lord God. You would use them, Lord God, and they could speak your word, Lord God. And we just pray you would ease the attention, Lord, and Jonah, Lord, and other people of the family, God, that they would just be praying and would put them in your hands and entrust them to you, Lord God, and find peace in you, Lord. And so we just lift them up to you. We lift up Jonah's mom and dad for protection, Lord, and that they would be delivered out of this too, Father, in Jesus' name. But it'd be somehow all for your glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Debbie, are they in prison, did you say?
Yeah, they took them, so I'm not sure exactly what happened, where they went.
We command the angels right now to go out there and get them and bring them back to safety in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. They are loosed from the Hamas right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for doing it supernaturally. So you get the glory. And yes, we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I was going to say, it's like, Lord, while they're there, while they're in prison, use them mightily, Lord, to testify of your love, your power, Jesus, your grace, your mercy, and the salvation gospel, Lord. And let them be your witnesses, sir, Father, because you use everything. We praise you, Lord, for getting them out of there, just as Michael prayed, because I was thinking about sending the angels too. So thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for a great testimony of all this. In Jesus' name, I thank you for your peace on their family, Lord, and even the students, even the kids, because they're missing them too. They may not understand what's happened. So, Father, we just thank you for your grace, and your perfect will be done, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. It is done.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. All right, saints. We'll see you next time. God bless you.